It is 102.9 The Hog. Born and Mandy here at the Jockey Club for Hogfest in VIP. Uh-huh. Sold out VIP, by the way. Did you know that, Tim Montana?
Sold out?
Sold out VIP.
Sold out.
Yeah. Can I twist this and tell people I sold out Pfizer Forum?
Sure
is that
can.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah,
they'll believe me in Butte, Montana.
Yeah. I sold out Pfizer Forum Jockey Club.
Yeah, Jockey Club.
Real quiet Jockey Club.
Yeah, but it sold out.
Yeah, no,
that's two capacity. So excited. So I walked up as you were doing some, because I do sound check. Don't think that these acoustic performances come in and just like pick up a guitar and start going.
Sure.
But Tim was singing and playing. There's some good stuff. There's a secret, some secret.
Yeah,
secret
there
songs,
be a secret
right?
Cover that you would not expect a man from rural Montana to be singing.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've got a diverse, eclectic music influences going on. So.
Okay.
Because yeah, I think when we had you on when we announced Hogfest, I mean, like 6 months ago now, mm-hmm. fun to talk to you. That talk about you grew up listening to all different kinds of stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
And you can kind of play all the different kinds of stuff from some of the songs we're talking. People find that surprising when they know your music and see you and go. You wouldn't be into, you're not doing any hip-hop stuff or rap stuff.
The Katy Perry cover really throws people. Yeah. I learned that from my daughter. I'm like, I got the eye of the tiger. I'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got kids. I'm sorry. I gotta.
Also, it's a jam.
Yeah,
so
it is a really good song.
Yeah. What did you learn to play first?
Music-wise?
Yes.
Gosh, I think I started with like Christmas carols. And again, like I told you guys, I grew up off grid in Montana. So
right.
It was lanterns and a little CD player with batteries. So and then I a lot of ZZ Top, CCR mm-hmm. licks. I learned a lot of that stuff first. But my biggest phase that was ridiculous was Nirvana. Mm-hmm. I went so hard.
So, yeah, like so many people. That was like, that really grabbed a lot of people. Yeah.
And I have a difficult time listening to Nirvana today, not because I don't like it, but because I wore it out.
Yeah.
Like, I wore it out. Like, I just, my mom, I couldn't afford official Nirvana gear, so I'd buy patches from Europe, and then my mom would stitch them onto the cheap hoodies.
Yes.
And I'd be like, where'd you get that, weirdo?
Well, that's a sweet
like
Nirvana hoodie,
European,
bro.
Yeah, it's homemade.
Yeah, custom made. Yeah, exactly. Like
made
that.
In a trailer house.
So when you're mentioning, like, you're growing up and listening to ZZ Top and all that, and then you get hooked up with Billy Gibbons.
Yeah.
That's surreal.
It's
surreal.
In that moment,
as that's coming together, you going, is this really happening?
Right.
100%. Yeah. Still to this day, I don't let myself forget, you know, Tim 15 years ago, what he would have done to be in the room with that guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because him and I talk usually once a day. Probably our businesses we have going. We have a bar now. We have the hot sauce company. We're always talking about music. He's mm-hmm. designing a Savage guitar themed on my new record. And I sent it to a buddy, and I'm like, hey, check it out. Gibbons is designing a guitar around my album release.
That's crazy.
And Gibbons is going to play the matching guitar on his tour. He wants two of them so we can match. And they're like, did you think about what that would have sounded like when you were a kid? I'm like, yeah, I need to remind myself of that stuff. And
yeah.
You know, that's pretty wild.
It's wild even to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild to hear you say stuff like that because knowing legend – that is ZZ Top and the band and everything that they did. I mean, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Do you ever talk beards, you and Billy?
Yes,
you
quite
have a beard.
Yep.
Billy has a beard, obviously very famous.
You get in a beard battle?
Yeah.
He wins every time.
Yeah.
His beard's
wild. I wouldn't want to take on. I don't think nobody should take
and
on
we,
Billy.
Actually,
at
restaurants, it annoys people because we pick things out of each other's beards. And then occasionally I'm like, this is really weird that we're on this level. And I'm like, hey, man, you got some cheese? And I have a great story of when he took us to Mexican food because that's his preferred food. Ask you what you want for dinner, but just know that he has a plan and it's Mexican food.
Okay, so he doesn't really care.
No, he's like, hey, what do you want for dinner? Cool, because we're going to get tacos.
Right.
So I got it. You don't have to ask. Anyway, he reached over to my kid to give him or her a chip. I can't remember what kid it was, but his beard. So I have four kids. His beard completely submerged in this giant thing of queso.
Yeah, okay.
And it came out, and my daughter just looked at him and goes, cheesy beard. So forever we called it cheesy beard.
Cheesy beard.
How do you get all that cheese out of you?
It's a lot. You got to kind of go to the sink. And
right. Yeah, and then you're like, ooh, sorry.
How did you guys first meet in that partnership?
2013. It was September, I think, 12th. I remember that day exactly because I was cutting a record. I had this song called This Beard Came Here to Party. I had a verse and chorus written, and someone sent it to him. He showed up in the studio. I about fainted, and he let me film the whole thing. And I thought that was the last time I'd see my hero, and I was grateful for it. So I'm like, most people don't get to spend a day in the studio with their hero. Like, if this is it for me, I'm a grateful guy. And he went out to dinner that night for a song for the World Series because the team had grown their beard out.
Mm-hmm.
And it got licensed 48 hours later, and all of a sudden we're on national TV, and that team won the World Series, and this beard came here to party. And then Billy put me on tour with him at the Ryman. I remember he called me. He's like, hey, man, we don't have an opening act for the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. You want to open for ZZ? And that time I bawled my eyes out because I was like, this is so crazy. Mm-hmm. And getting goosebumps talking about it now. I remember what that felt like. Mm-hmm. And then that led to over 70, I think I'm at like 75 times I've opened for ZZ on their tours.
That's
so
crazy.
They're like family, the whole crew, just great.
Talk about this Whisker Bomb hot sauce that we're going to be sampling here today. What was the process like of making a hot sauce? Like, not enough spice. I need a little more zing.
Yeah.
Give me the zap.
We're both spicy food connoisseurs.
Yeah.
And so we just started talking about it. My wife is a businesswoman that is in the consumer packaged goods business. So she's like, hey, why don't you guys create a brand? I'll help you get it in some store shelves. And so, yeah, there's a lot of taste testing. Over COVID, we came up with the salsa recipe. We'd FaceTime each other, and I'd be like, Billy, add 2 jalapenos and green tomato. It was really funny.
Yeah.
And then he's FaceTiming back in his PJs in Las Vegas, and I think it's too spicy, brother. And so we came up with the salsa. Now we got barbecue sauce. And the most special thing is if you go to whiskerbomb.com, there's a performance of Waiting on the Bus or Waiting for the Bus. On the website that's only there where Billy decided to change the words to Have Mercy Been Waiting for the Sauce All Day.
Yes.
And I thought that was kind of blasphemy for me to participate in that, but I'm like, well, if we're going to alter the words, at least I'm with the guy that wrote it.
Right? Yep, 100%. What are people going to – because people get to taste that today in the VIP.
Yeah. So we're going to have our Have Mercy, our classic. The Have Mercy is pretty hot. It's not waiver size heavy on habaneros.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it burns with the good burn. We're not 20 minutes later like, why did I do that? It just it kicks you back of your palate. The classic is almost like a slightly spicy barbecue sauce.
Oh, so it's, all right,
you got molasses in it, onions,
very
stuff
nice.
Like that. So
okay, because I was getting worried because I wanted to try them, but I didn't want to be a baby about it.
Do you know what they're using to sample the hot sauce? What the vehicle is, or is that Pfizer going to do it?
Been wings so far. I think you just put it on some wings.
Just not straight on your tongue.
Yeah. You can put it straight on your tongue.
Yeah, I can't wait to try it.
Speaking
with Tim Montana, acoustic artist here for. Hogfest in the VIP. If you're smart enough to grab one of those VIP tickets for Hogfest, they are sold out here. But we get to see you, Tim, at Summerfest coming up in July. Playing that, I think July 6th. Don't quote me on the date. I think it's July 6th, but I know it's one of those days in July. So you'll have a full. We'll have a full set with you.
Full leaded
then.
Show then.
Yeah.
I get to bring my amps. And,
all the things.
Yeah. So that's what I was very excited to hear that. I knew we had this on the books for a long time, but then to have a chance to see you plugged in a couple of months here.
Yeah, kids that grew up without electricity prefer plugging in loud.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, power's wild. Let's turn it loud.
Because you didn't, right? We talked about that before.
Yeah.
You grew up, I mean, you're in Montana, Tim Montana in Montana, and it was
off-grid, single-wide
off-grid,
trailer house, and an outhouse out back, and those outhouses are cold when it's 40 below zero. I'll tell
you that. No! Okay, so you have to get completely dressed and then run out to the outhouse?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even.
We're so spoiled.
I've never lived without electricity, so it completely blows my mind.
I didn't know anything. I didn't know any worse, so it's like as you grow up, you appreciate these. But, I mean, I remember when I moved from rural Montana to Hollywood, California, and I live right off Hollywood Boulevard to go to music school. And my roommate was like, why do you keep putting silverware in a microwave? And I'm like, I've never owned a microwave or a dryer because dryers and microwaves pull a lot of power. So that was the learning curve. And to this day, when my wife's like, hey, will you heat up a baby bottle? She's like, why are you putting it in there for 4 minutes and melting plastic? And I'll just stare at it. Like, I've been on the grid for 20 years, whatever it is, and I'm just like looking at the microwave like, these contraptions, this witchcraft you guys have in the city is just wild. Wild undie.
Tim, man, a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. We'll let you get ready and get ready for the VIP set here today.
Do they have a microwave?
They probably have.
They got one in the back. Yeah.
You want one? We can get you one.
Put it next to the stage. I need to go to a Rush concert and just look at all the stuff on stage. Like, whoa! Thank you, guys.